Welcome to Adequate Yearly Progress, Episode 2. My name is Erin Sterling, and I'm the librarian at Eckstein Middle School in Seattle, Washington. Every episode, I interview a different teacher and find out why they became a teacher, and what they like about it, and what they don't like about it. This episode is great because I got to interview my Aunt Beth, who has been a kindergarten or first grade teacher for over 20 years, and one of those people who everyone would want as their kindergarten teacher because how warm and nurturing, and also how calm she is. I've had the additional fortune of being able to watch her parent my cousins, who I remember as babies and now know them as fun, wonderful teenagers. All right, let's go. Hi, Aunt Beth. I'm glad you're on my show. Okay, for everyone listening, this is Beth Anderson, and she is a first grade teacher at Bancroft IB World School. Is that right?
Yeah.
And this is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So, Beth, just tell me about why you became a teacher.
I guess I looked at jobs where I could do something that would make a difference. And teaching, I thought that I could, on a daily basis, make a difference in lives of kids. So that's kind of why I initially went into it.
Great. And how long have you been teaching?
I have to do the math. About 28 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what has been the most rewarding part about your job so far?
When you see a kid that gets it, you know, when you see the light go on, it's like, oh, I had a piece in helping that to happen. And, you know, like, I teach first grade, so a big piece of my work is early literacy and having teaching kids to read. And if that makes sense for them, it opens up a whole world. You know, if you get reading at first grade, you can read to learn the rest of your life.
Yeah. Is there anything that's particularly frustrating then? I mean, on the flip side, being a teacher myself, I think one of the challenges for me is like trying to reach students and like change strategies. But is there anything frustrating in particular about being a teacher?
I would say the most frustrating, and maybe this is because I teach young children, is that their environment is not of their doing. Mm. And so sometimes there are things that get in the way of their learning that they have no control over. You know, I think sleeping, that it's frustrating to or getting to school, or, you know, attendance in first grade really isn't a first grader's responsibility. It's the parent responsibility.
Right.
And so it's frustrating when there are things that are interfering with their learning that I don't have control over and the kids don't have control over. So, you know, you're working kind of out in a more extended sphere.
Right, right. How about I'm also thinking about people who want to become teachers now. What was an early challenge for you, and what were things that helped address the challenges, or a current challenge in that consideration?
Probably the biggest early challenge that I see teachers have, and that I felt too, is just learning that balance between how you can manage your classroom. I mean, that that you can have the best ideas in the world, but if you don't have a way to suck the kids in or manage, I mean, you're gonna have behavior issues. It's just part of having a group of kids, and if you can't, you know, if you don't get a handle on that, then you can have the greatest lesson in the world, and,
right?
And it won't work. So I think that probably the biggest thing I would say is figure out the classroom management piece.
Yeah. And are there any ones that you've like discovered either recently or early on, like classroom management techniques that you found to be effective for across a wide group of kids?
You know, I've got pieces from a lot of different things. I read up on an envoy training that I think was particularly helpful for me, just in learning to not be walking around giving directions.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, to to kind of plant your feet and stay put and, and, you know, kind of wait for kids to be, looking at you that I think sometimes, and then that the quieter you get,
right,
the more attentive they get, where I think sometimes your instinct is to, you know, if kids are ramping it up to get to speak over them, and
right,
and that tends to be ineffective.
Right. I went to a training earlier this year that talked about mirror neurons, and basically that kids respond to you, basically neurologically, people respond to each other and how they react. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that the more calm you can be, that kids are going to feel that. The more stressed I feel, it seems like I can see that's reflected in
right,
the children. So, I guess calm.
Calm. That sounds great. Just achieving it. What are things that have met your expectations about teaching? Or you can also answer, are there things that have not met your expectations? I guess, like, thinking back. But even thinking, it could be...
Yeah, I don't know that year. I had a real... That I had a real good sense of what teaching would actually be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, I'd read books about the, you know, the hero teachers that click with a kid and that,
right,
you know, that how they saved their life, that kind of story. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to be. And that's not what day-to-day teaching really is. But I think you never know what thing you do on a day-to-day basis is in, you know, I've had grown students come back and say, oh, you know, I remember when you were my first grade teacher, and that, you know, at the time, you don't realize that you're making an impact,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that the, you know, the day-to-day stuff is a lot of paperwork and a lot of managing behavior and a lot of, planning but you know, I think probably the biggest thing I would say that I love about teaching is it's every day is different, and every, mm-hmm. you know, it's an interaction of a lot of people every day, so mm-hmm. you're building a community, and you know, it's never boring,
right?
As far as something that has not met my expectation, I feel like over the last few years, we've just gotten more and more expectations that, to me, bring us away from the kids, you know, that are, you know, in the name of accountability. But I think sometimes they bring you away, you know, you really get away from what
right,
I see
to what you
kids,
actually want to do.
But, yeah, and what the kids really need, you know, we're doing something because it generates some data that can be measured. And
right,
you know, so I guess I sometimes question some of those things, but you
right,
know, there are things sometimes you have to just do because it's part of your job, and
right, that just happens.
And you work around it.
Yes. Are there any particular classes or students who over the years have like stood out in your mind because of, or is it just every year is a different year?
Every year's a different year, but. But, you know, I think back to, you know, I think back to that there are kids that make an impression that you remember,
uh-huh.
and you think, you know, I remember, you know, that particularly I think it's sometimes things that kids say are kids that are particularly intuitive or, you know, sometimes you'll have a kid that's particularly empathetic and you just think, wow. You know, if the whole world could react like this, we wouldn't solve a lot of problems. So yeah, there are kids that I remember. What's kind of fun for me right now is that my own children are in high school, and there are kids in their class that I was their kindergarten teacher. You know,
oh,
so
that's
I went awesome. When bringing my son to taking pictures for prom. There was one of my kindergarten teachers, and she comes over and gives, oh, Miss Anderson. So, I mean, that it's like, wow, you know, they grow up to be, you know, wonderful people.
Right.
And, you know, I see them in a little snippet of their life when they're, when they're just young kids, but
Do you have any advice for people who are either going into the field or who are just in their first few years? And partly I ask this because I know a lot of people who are really passionate about teaching, but sometimes struggle with the just having to buckle down and get slog through some of this stuff.
I would say, you know that there's going to be stuff you're going to have to slog through. So, and that's going to be, I mean, that's a piece of any,
any
career, any job. And then, you know, remind yourself that you make a, difference, even if you don't, see it right now, that there are, some long-term differences that, you know, it matters. We need good teachers.
Great. And then the kind of last thing I have to wrap up this one, why are you still teaching?
Because I still think I have something to offer. I think, in the field, I think we need a balance of new young blood, and I think we need to balance that with experience, that there's things that I've seen that I think can be helpful in making decisions, like building wide decisions, that, you know, I think that that I have something to offer. And I mean, I still like being with the kids. It's still exciting, and and it's a good way to spend your day.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you so much for being on my show, and look forward to another episode later. Thanks.
That's the end of my show. Thanks for listening. You can find future episodes on adequateyearlyprogress.com, iTunes, and the Microsoft Podcap app. Thanks to the band Inspira's song Follow the Waves for the upbeat music you are dancing to right now. Thanks to freesound.org for the Creative Commons license for user SBYANDIJI's alarm bell sound, user Totia's yeah sound, and user Mental Sanity Off for the background chatter sound. Thanks to all of you for listening, and talk to you next on October 5th.